They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit. There'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
What up, though, One Pride? This is the Roar of the Lions UK podcast, the podcast where One Pride goes worldwide. My name is Anthony Fitzpatrick. I'm joined this evening by Ryan McCluskey. It is a slightly drier Wednesday evening over here for us, and that can only mean one thing. It is time for the college football podcast. Ryan, we are 2 weeks and a day away from the big event. Time is near. How are you doing?
I'm good, yeah. I say it's very near. It feels very real, but for us, it just feels, it feels calm. For Lions fans, like calm. Lions fans are just being chill, like, because we're not going to be big shakers. We're not going to be big players this year. I don't feel like it's just gonna be a domino effect. So yeah, I'm very relaxed about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not fighting and arguing over a number two pick, are we? Like, I feel like arguments about the draft amongst a fan base are a lot higher when you're in the top five, let's say, because, you know, it's bigger for your franchise. Like, be a franchise quarterback, who knows? Like, Commanders fans, Patriots fans, I bet they're all at each other's throats at the minute. It's a little more easy, so I get you, but it's just 2 weeks away. We are looking forward to it very much. But as I said, yes, you are here for the College Football Podcast, and it is our Season 3 finale today. Can't believe we have covered three seasons of college football by this point. And as I say, we are titled Rise Against the Machines, and you will find out why in a moment. First off, let's get all the housekeeping out of the way. Roar of the Lions UK Discord, if you want in on that, let us know. We'll fire you out a link. Main podcast. This week, we did our Detroit Lions 7-round mock drafts. If you've not seen that, go check them out. We had Chris Perfett from Pride of Detroit on with us. That was a lot of good fun. And the Monday coming up, we will be doing our first round mock drafts, where we try and predict the 32 picks of round one, which this year feels like an impossibility. So do join us for that as well. Don't forget to like and subscribe to everything, Twitch, YouTube, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. Don't forget about Lions Nation Unite as well. We are, remember, part of Herman Moore's campaign to bring together the best in Lions YouTubers together on one easy-to-use app on your phone, tablet, whatever it is you use there. And don't forget, we're monetized, we're on Twitch, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to help us that way, that's great. But we just love having you all in the building. Right. First up, just a couple of, let's say, little shout-outs to get out the way here. So it was a big milestone for us this week, Ryan. We christened this week the 100K week. We were 300 plays away from having 100,000 audio listens of this podcast. And as of yesterday, we passed it. You go onto our little stats page now, it's 100K. It's like, I didn't envisage we'd ever get anywhere near that, but it's a lovely little milestone to hit, and, you know, proof that we must be doing something right to get there.
Yeah, 100K watches, views, and 100K listens. So it means that we're catering to just as many people who want to watch the video as they do that can't make it there, and then they're going back and listening. If they miss it at the time, at least they're going back and then going to play the audio, which I think means a lot more. It means they're going out of their way to, they can't make the episode live, that they're then, like, say, they're doing the hoovering, they're walking the dogs, they're having their breakfast, wherever they can fit into their day, or like while they're multitasking, listening to the audio, like saying that. I really appreciate people, like say, taking time out of their day to plug in whatever, what are they doing, like say, whatever helps the time go pass by.
Exactly. You know, you're stuck with us now. You listen to us, and we're going to do it more. We're going to hit for the quarter million next, and kind of like, not as a special thing, but we're both wearing our football shirts today. We're both dressed up. I've got my lovely Chesterfield kit on. Ryan's got his Bradford kit on there. These are our home soccer teams over here that we're wearing. So you can see us dressed up a little bit there today as well. And as I mentioned, Three seasons of the College Football Podcast. We appreciate everybody who has listened to me and Rye over the last 3 years, because like building the main lines podcast been hard. Building this is even harder because there's a lot of college football podcasts out there. But we appreciate all of you who do listen to us, to Brent, to Lisa, to everybody who supports us. Yeah, we're just really grateful. And we will be back in about a month's time. It's not going to be a big break. We'll be straight back into conference previews next year. We intend to do a lot more content as well next year. So look forward to that. But we have a show to do today first. Let me just quickly shout out people who are in the chat, though. Elijah Hanna is in the YouTube chat, says, hello, fellas. Like button is smashed. Love your channel. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And congrats us on that. So, yeah, we really appreciate it. And we appreciate you for supporting us. I know Lost Oceans is in Twitch as well. If you've got anything you want to ask us during the evening, if it's the last college pod of the year, please do so draft-wise. We'll get to it at the end of the show. Silver Rush 24 is subscribed at Tier 1 on Twitch, been subscribed to 8 months. Really appreciate that. Thank you very much, Silver Rush 24 there. So let's get to it. So we wanted to do something a little bit different for the finale, because for the finale, you've got to do something a little bit different from the year. We've talked the draft for so long now. We've talked the prospects for so long. We thought, what could we do? And I've devised up a special little draft challenge that me and Ryan are going to do. And we will reveal the results to you when the draft is done, because we can't before then. But basically what I have decided to do, I got a random number generator off Google, just a random Google one. And I set it to between number one and Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, all the way down in the 250s. And I got it to pick 30 numbers at random, just 30 numbers between one and Mr. Irrelevant. Wrote all those numbers down in the list. And then what we did, we went on to Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator. I like theirs a bit more than PFF's, because PFF used their grading system to influence their picks. I feel like PFN's a little better. So, and I got it to run a simulated mock draft, complete 7 rounds. I had no input in it whatsoever, just did it down. And then what I did is all the numbers, then produced 30 numbers. Every player that was at that subsequent number in the draft, I have written it down. I have written down the NFL team that the Pro Football Network simulator thinks they're going to go to. And what me and Ryan are going to do is use our combined collegiate knowledge and, you know, pretending we do at least anyhow. And we're going to see if we can be smarter than the mock draft simulator. We are going to predict where these players are going to go in the draft. And then when it all happens and said and done, we're going to tally up how many the simulator got right, how many Ryan got right, how many I got right. And we're going to have an outright winner. And we're going to see if me and Ryan do know what we're talking about. Because we're not afraid to put our reputations on the line, are we, Ryan? I don't know about you, but I found this quite difficult when we did it, but I really want to be better than the simulator.
I feel really good about like the first 20.
Yeah.
And then the last 10, like when you're getting into 150 to 250, like it's where basically you're going off depth charts, what the internet says their needs are, where the player is expected to be picked. Does the team have a pick there? If they don't, yeah, then that's not realistic. So you've got to look at what they've also got draft pick wise. And yeah, sheer luck. If yeah, I get 10 right, I'd be very happy if I got 10 out of 30 right.
Oh, I'd be happy if I got 5. So I'm setting my expectations really, really low. So we're going to go through this list and we're going to let you know where we think these players are going to be drafted. And I think it's going to be a good bit of fun. So starting off, the very first...
I'm guessing we just don't get a point if they go undrafted.
If they got no, where they end up on a practice squad. Oh yeah, so if they don't, if they are not drafted, then we'll use the practice squad where they land up. And if they don't get drafted altogether, we'll just scrub them from it. So there are maybe a few of these at the bottom, but yeah, it is because I didn't want to do it. I wanted to try and put it all the way through the draft to make it as challenging as possible for us. I didn't want us to just do guys at the top. That can be a bit too easy. So anywho, we're going to start it off. So the first number that was popped out by the random number generator was lucky number 13. And at this pick in Pro Football Network's mock draft, we got offensive tackle Talisi Fuanga from Oregon State. And Pro Football Network believe that he is going to the New Orleans Saints at number 13. But Ryan, start off with you for this one. Taliese Fuanga, where do you believe he ends up in the draft?
I believe he's going to be a New York Jet. They still need offensive line help. They're picking in the perfect sweet spot for him. They've got one good year to try keep Aaron Rodgers upright. Did bring in Tyron Smith, but that's not a long-term plan, is it? We know that. He's just a stopgap. They do need a future tackle, and I see them going offensive line here because they've got weapons. They've got the quarterback. It's the line that's got to keep Aaron up this year.
Yeah, I can buy that there. So for me, I've been a long advocate. He is a Jim Harbaugh player through and through and through. The LA Chargers need a tackle. They need a right tackle specifically. And you know the first thing Harbaugh is going to do is implement a run game in LA. And he needs a right tackle to do this. And Fuanga is one of the... He's the biggest railroader in this draft. He will dig out trenches on the right-hand side of that line for second-round draft pick Blake Corum and co. to go to work. Yeah, I fully believe the Chargers are going to trade out. They don't need a shiny new wide receiver. Trade back, let one of the teams just below them a few spots go up and get a receiver, get a few more picks, get your right tackle of the future. But he screams Jim Harbaugh player to me. So Fuanga, we have Pro Football Network going to New Orleans. Ryan's going to the New York Jets. I am going to the LA Chargers. Right, let's move it on. The next number that came up was number 29. And before everyone goes, oh, the Lions are picking there, what did the mock draft simulator say? Well, actually, the Lions didn't pick here. They traded up to number 16 to go and get Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo. So I don't know. Maybe the simulator was doing some trades on this one, but instead it was the Seattle Seahawks on the clock. And at 29, they picked wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Texas. And as I say, PFM believes he's going to Seattle. But Ryan, where do you believe Adonai Mitchell is going?
I believe there's only one place he can go, and I believe that is to save Josh Allen, who needs a miracle. He's a Buffalo Bill. Gabe Davis is gone. Stephon has forced his way out on bad times. If that juggernaut of an offense, which has stuttered too many times in the playoffs, is going to continue to still rack up big yardage and scores, it's going to need a big threat, and it's going to need a deep threat. And I believe that's AD. I think that's the wide receiver one for the Bills for many years to come.
See, I've thought along the similar lines of you. It's AFC. But I've got him just going a few picks later to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, with all the stuff that's going on with Rashee Rice, I still think they need a wide receiver, even if he is. But at 6'2", 205 pounds, super quick off the line of scrimmage. He's a really great route runner. Like, he's the guy who's going to separate early, and he's going to give Patrick Mahomes just that extra weapon as well as some of his more downfield threats there. And I don't know, he feels like a pick the Chiefs will make there. I know he's been mocked there a lot. I didn't base it on this, but the style of receiver he is, they do need a guy there. Picking at 32, I think Adonai Mitchell's going to be a Chief. So, PFN says Seattle, Ryan says Buffalo, I say Kansas. Now I'm going to be really interested for this next pick. It was number 30 next, and we have one of your favorite draft prospects of the lot, cornerback Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator reckons he's going to the Baltimore Ravens. But Ryan, you have watched him for years, seen him for years. Who's going to pull the trigger on him, especially after that pro day?
I'm sitting to a team that I've seen not many people mention. I think he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Carlton Davis is gone. Antoine Winfield Jr. has been tagged but yet to sign a long-term deal. I don't know where they're in negotiations, so their backfield in general is in a flux. Guys have left, like Sean Mabon, guys like that, they've been bad at defending the pass. Like I said, they need an all-round guy to help in the backfield. He can play a bit of strong safety. Like I said, or if you want to put him in outside corner, let him do it. Like I said, he's right in that position where I see him going. Like I said, between like 20 and 29. I think that's the sweet spot for him. I think he's going to look really good in red and pewter.
Ooh, I like it, like it. So you may not like where I'm going to send him, but and this is one that has been predicted a lot, but it actually does make a lot of success. I'm unfortunately sending him up to Cheeseland, to the Green Bay Packers, Cooper DeJean. So again, 6 foot, 203 pounds. It's a big need for the Packers. They need a corner, and as we know, they like to draft defense in the first round. But the big thing that kind of gets it for me, who's their new defensive coordinator in Green Bay? Obviously, Jeff Hafley, the old Boston College head coach. And we know what type of corner he likes because Elijah Jones coming through into the draft. He likes his corners who keep their eyes on the quarterback and they keep their eyes on the receiver. They don't play with their back to the ball. They get the head round to make plays. They're exactly the sort of same type of quarterback, except Cooper DeJones to a much higher level than Elijah Jones is. I think if he goes there and he'll go to the guys in power, to LaFleur, and he'll go, you give me Cooper DeJean, I'll give you an All-Pro in 2 years. And I think that's a match made in heaven for them. And of course, he's got the dangerous return ability, but I think the Packers are going there. And Cooper DeJean makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, I'm sending DeJean to the Packers. You have sent him to the Bucs, and Pro Football Network sent him to Baltimore. Right, we got pick number 31. We had three in a row here, 29-30. Number 31, the offensive tackle, Jordan Morgan from Arizona. He was sent by Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator to the Kansas City Chiefs. But, Rye, where do you see the behemoth from Arizona going?
Had an absolutely brilliant year coming off of your torn ACL. He is going to be, they would project him to be a quite early round two. And I'm sending him to Tennessee to go with Peter Skoronski. They got one tackle, they got one offensive lineman last year. They need to protect Will Levis this year. They need another starting tackle. And for me, he's one of the best prospects outside of the first round on offensive line. And I think he makes a lot of sense to just slot in naturally.
So you're sending him to Tennessee, is that correct?
Yep.
Tennessee Titans. Lovely. I have got him going to the Washington Commanders. So, yeah, he's 6'5", 311. Washington's going to get its shiny new quarterback at the top of the draft. We know that at this point. Who it is remains to be seen. But they must protect him. And their next pick is at 36. Now, if you're looking for who's going to be kind of the most pro-ready left tackle available at 36 when all the others gone, I think Jordan Morgan's going to be right up at the top of the list for that. I think they might trade up from 36 just a little bit to go and get him as well. But you take all the other guys into consideration who are there. They'll want their quarterback and they'll want the tackle to go with him right away, because they're far away from challenging in that conference at the minute. Morgan's got to get his time to develop, take his lumps, develop into a good, solid NFL left tackle whilst their quarterback develops as well. I think it works in sync there. So I've got him going to the Commanders. So Jordan Morgan, I've got to the Commanders. Ryan's got to the Titans. Pro Football Network got to the Chiefs. Right, we take a little bit of a jump now. And 55 was the next number that came up. And in Pro Football Network's mock draft at 55, the offensive tackle Patrick Hall from Houston, 6'7", 331 pounds. Man is massive. And Pro Football Network reckons he's going to the Miami Dolphins. But Ryan, where do you see him going?
Well, they thought John Morgan was going to the Chiefs. I think Patrick Paul is going to the Chiefs. I think they need a new behemoth anchor on that line. They've had some shake-up on the line in the last few years. Big contracts handed out. They've had some guys, like you say, walk away, some retire. They've had some niggling injuries. It's time to blooding some new people to, like you say, start and carry on the dynasty. So for me, I think it makes a lot of sense there to try and be. They're running the ball well, Pacheco. Got to keep Patty upright. So yeah, why not get probably one of the biggest tackles in the entire draft?
So Ryan hasn't gone to the Kansas City Chiefs. I have actually got him going to the same conference, but I've got him going to the Las Vegas Raiders. So for me, he is He is like well above average in pass pro. Pass pro is his big thing. He's great. It will serve the Raiders well in their conference because when you think they've got the Chargers in there, they've got the Chiefs in there, it's going to be a lot of high scoring games. You're going to want your tackles to do a lot of pass protection work. And of course, you're going to need to develop him. They're not going to be competitive right away, the Raiders. I don't feel, even though I love the head coach, I think he's going to get it right. Paul, for me, he is the most sensible choice there for them. They get a tackle who's going to, as I say, be able to get up in the pass game right away. You can develop him in the run game. You can develop him as your team develops. And hopefully, by the time they get to competing with the top dogs there, he will be what they expect. But at 6'7", 331, you can't turn him down. And do you think of that conference as well? A lot of the edge rushers in there, the Carl Laftises, the Boses, etc. They're sort of the guy he would fare well against in pass pro. Not super athletic, not super bendy. I think it works well for them. So I've got Patrick Paul going to the Raiders. Ryan has the Chiefs, Pro Football Network. His mock draft had the Dolphins. Next up, 56, just one spot down. And we get our first player from Michigan, the linebacker Junior Colson. The PFN mock simulator reckons he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy, which would upset a lot of Michigan fans. But Ryan, where do you see him going?
For me, he's going to be an LA Charger. They've lost Kenneth Murray, their former first rounder. They've lost Eric Kendricks. So their inside linebacking core has been decimated in the last year. This guy's big, strong, athletic, and can play against the run. And I think, oh, also, I didn't even think about the, I've only just dawned on Jim Harbaugh. I didn't even think about that when I picked him. This just makes too much sense.
Yeah, I get it. I see that entirely. I didn't actually think about that either, but yeah, I think that's a really good shout there. For me, unfortunately, again, I've got Junior Colson coming back to the NFC North, and I figure I found out the first two picks of the Green Bay Packers because that's where I'd send him. He's 6'2", 238 pounds. Now, he is a very instinctual, strong coverage linebacker. All the traits that Packers are missing. They've let Devondre Campbell go. There's a big gap in there. They've got Kei Walker. They need someone to put beside him. Now, you think about our conference and who's in it. Amon-Ra, Laporta, Addison, Kmet, Hock, all these really good interior threats down the middle of the field. Like coverage linebackers are going to become a necessity sooner rather than later in this conference. The Packers don't have many linebackers. I think they'll shoot up high and they will get Junior Colson. And I would hate that for us because I think he's going to be really great. I actually wouldn't half mind us going to get him. But for me, again, I just looked at all the teams and the Packers makes way too much. If they're going to take one high, they're going to take a linebacker high. I think it's going to be Junior Colson. So for me, yeah, I'm sending Colson to the Packers. Ryan is sending him to the Chargers. Need to keep writing this down. Pro Football Network's mock draft to the Cowboys. Right, next we go to pick 65, the tight end Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. And the PFN mock draft had him going to the Carolina Panthers. But Ryan, do you agree or do you disagree?
I disagree. I'm sending him to a team that clearly needs a tight end too, because they just offered 3 years and $12 million for him, but didn't get him. Now imagine Ben Sinnott in the 49ers offense. He plays H-back, so he can take over from Kyle Juszczyk one day. He can be the second man behind George Kittle. I think he would absolutely eat up as a tight end too in that Shanahan offense. I think he makes a lot of sense for 49ers. And they've got two fourth-round picks. I said they can move, use them to move up to get him, or they can wait to see if he falls. I'd say they're prime, like say, day two, early three, that he could just fall into their lap.
See, I like this because me and Ryan have done these independently. I've not got the same team, but the first thing I've got here is 6'4", 250 pounds. Ryan mentioned the H-back stuff. My first thing, former fullback, does the dirty work, tight end stuff that this team likes. And he's highly versatile. Like I say, you line him up in the backfield, fullback, tight end. And also for a team who has a need at receiver, but doesn't have enough picks to deal with it. He also deals with that as well. So you kind of get a two for one pick with him here as a legit receiving weapon. I've chosen the Colts because the Colts are one of those teams who operate with such guys. But I actually really like your pick as well, because I think I didn't think about the 49ers in that regard with the H-back. I don't know what their wide receiver situation's like, but I think we're on the right track here. I think one of us will get him for that there. So I've got Ben Sinnott going to the Colts. Ryan has him going to the 49ers, and I just need to put that in our thing here. And then PFN has him going to the Panthers. Next up, pick 66, cornerback Max Melton out of Rutgers. And actually, I think PFN did a good job on this one. They reckon that he's going to be a New England Patriot. But Ryan, Max Melton, where do you see him going?
I think Max Melton is a cowboy. I think he will go take Stephon Gilmore's spot on the outside. They've got Deron Bland on one side who has got a nice knack of taking the ball. Now let's go out there and get a guy to complement on the other side. Like I said, I think this pick, I think it's a bit high for him, but I can't question paper. I think it's a bit of a reach, but I like the fit there. And I think he's physical, he can play press, and I think he'll like the defense that they want to do with him. They do like aggressive corners. Like I said, and he can learn off Diggs and Bland. Like I said, they're physical dudes that like to get hands on people.
So the last four mock drafts I've seen from major news outlets and stuff, he's a round one pick now. Like he snuck into the end of the first. His ascent has been crazy. But this is going to be the first and only time, I think it's the only time I've done this. I think Max Melton, and I didn't put this in my mock draft, is a perfect Detroit Lion. And why?
I
So
like it.
5'11, 187 pounds. Now, when you say a player screams something, Max Melton screams Dan Campbell guy due to his competitiveness, his hot motor, and his fearless style of play, especially against the run. If Dan Campbell tells him to go run through a brick wall, he'll go run through two brick walls. That's the kind of guy he is. He screams Aaron Glenn guy. He can play man and zone coverage. Aaron Glenn loves that kind of versatility where you can move guys around there. And he screams Lions need, which is we still need a coverage linebacker because we've got new guys, but we don't know whether they're the future or not. It's still up in the air. So for me, he ticks the box of head coach, DC, and team need. So I think Max Melton screams as a Detroit Lions player. And maybe I would say it's a very outside chance he's the round one pick, but if they're going to trade up for somebody and they want a corner, Max Melton is a name to keep an eye out on. So I've got Max Melton going to the Lions. Ryan has him going to the Cowboys. And Pro Football Network has him going to the Patriots. And you know what? I can actually see that. That's one of the picks I agreed with there. Next up at number 70, we had Edge Braylon Trice from Washington. PFN reckons he's coming to the NFC North and he's going to be a Chicago Bear. Ryan, what do you think?
I think he makes perfect sense for the Panthers. Brian Burns is gone. Yetur Gross-Matos is almost also gone. So their pass rush and their run defense are really heavily hurt. This guy offers good pass rush, good motor, but also stellar in run defense supports on his own. And after the bad combine, he has slid. I think he'll fall into the lap. Like I said, he can be a day one starter there. Very little pressure on him right away. I think this is the perfect landing spot for him to be like a key piece on the outside because right now their edge room is looking bit paper thin.
Yeah, absolutely can see that one happening. Me, I've gone with a little bit more of the home connection with this one. So for me, Braylon Trice, I've got him going to the Seattle Seahawks. So 6'3", 245 pounds. So the Seahawks, for me, they have big needs on the interior of the offensive line and at edge. They are barren at the edge position. And it just so happens the new offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, has just come from Washington in college. And mock drafts are generally predicting the guard Fautano. Is it Fautano, isn't it? The guard. They're predicting him like hell to Washington, to Seattle in the first round. So it looks like they're going to try and solve their interior problem first with the next picks around where Trice went in this. They've got two. I think they're going to go edge. Now, they're not going to be silly as to just go for the offensive coordinator and say, oh, yeah, you can have two of your players from college. But Mike McDonald's a new head coach there. generally what you're going to do at the start of your rebuild is you're going to attack your trenches first. It's just happy coincidence that his new offensive coordinator has trench players on both sides of the ball, but Trice is familiar, one, with the weather over there, with how they play. He's familiar to the coaching staff because he's played there his entire career with him. I just feel like that is, and it's a position of massive need for them. He can play both sides of the line. He's versatile. Not quite the finished product yet, but the Seahawks, you know, new head coach, new project there. So you've got time to bring him along. So I think Breland Trice is going to end up with the Seattle Seahawks. Ryan's got him going to the Panthers. Let me just quickly put that in there. Pro Football Network has him going to the Bears. Now, this is a very interesting pick, this next one, because I know you're going to scorn it right away for where it goes. But number 75, running back out of Wisconsin, Breland Allen. Now, I don't know if he's going to go this high in the draft. Maybe he does. But Pro Football Network have him going to the New York Giants. But Ryan, again, this is a guy you've watched in college a long ass time. Where do you think he's going in the NFL?
Technically, he's not going anywhere. He's staying in Wisconsin. He's a Green Bay Packer. Like I said, they've just thrown a lot of money at Josh Jacobs. AJ Dillon, like you say, is the hammer. But like I say, when cost cutting happens in a few years, or like when his contract starts to wear thin, do they want a replacement for the guy that can do the hard stuff? Like I say, Breland Allen is built like an absolute tow truck. And I think right now, like I say, they love to use like a 2-3 system back. Like I say, I think Green Bay fans would love him to stay there. And one day he could become the running back too. When they do need that short yardage and that heavy set guy, he could be the replacement for AJ Dillon. Like you said, when his contract does expire, or they do let him walk next time, it's due to pay him.
Yep, again, to see that one for sure. I didn't think about that actually. That makes a lot of sense now that you've put it that way. I thought about this one a little bit differently. So Breland Allen for me, 6'1", 235 pounds. I've actually got him going to the Carolina Panthers to be Bryce Young's new best friend. Why? The Panthers do need a potential running back one. I know they've got Miles Sanders there, but he looks over the hill. The rest of them are good guys, but they're not potential running back ones. And the trouble is, they have a lot of needs, so they're not going to be able to go out and get a running back one early. I think Breland Allen will represent the best possibility of picking up a running back one who can run a running back one load late enough in the draft when they're going to start picking. And I think they would love to do it. If they can sort their trenches out at the top of the draft and still come away with Breland Allen as a potential running back one of the future, I think that would be great for them. For me, that makes a lot of sense for the Panthers to go get Breland. You don't have to spend a big pick and you can get a guy who can carry the rock 30 times a game and he could do a lot of damage with it. So, yeah, I've got Breland Allen going to the Panthers, Ryan to the Packers. And he's going to, I've got to get the mic after the New York Giants for that. So let me just put Packers in here. Lovely. Let's move on to number 85. And we've got the linebacker Trayvon Wallace from Kentucky. PFN has him going to the Green Bay Packers, which again is a pick I like because Green Bay need one. If they don't go for Colson, I think they'll definitely be in for Trayvon because they've both been courting them heavily. Do you agree, Ryan, or do you see Trayvon Wallace going somewhere else?
I've got Wallace going to the Broncos because Josie Jewell, inside linebacker, was a big loss in free agency. Alex Singleton needs a partner. That team has just lost a lot. And it's in dire straits, isn't it? It's in win now mode. And I really like Wallace. I say I think he's a really good linebacker and they need to shore up the middle of that defense. But I think you instantly get a guy to start next to Alex and restore that inside linebacking pair that was actually very good last year. I enjoyed watching the Denver linebackers. But yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense then. Plugs a hole pretty much straight away for me.
Denver defense, not been bad on the whole. It's just the offense stunk out the place. So I've got him going to the Steelers, and this was what, because out of all the picks I did, he was the only one in the top 20 where I couldn't figure out where he was going to go. So I had to go back to this afterwards, and I did kind of have a look around and see where's he visiting, who's chatting about him. And there were a lot of Steelers chatter about, and I'm there looking at the depth chart. I'm thinking, actually, Trayvon Wallace is going to be a very good inside linebacker at the next level. He needs some development. If you're going to send him to a room where he doesn't really have to start right away, but he can come in, make an impact. You can use him scheme specific whilst you work him in, because that Pittsburgh defense is going to have a lot of big contracts it's going to have to pay out. They're going to need the next guys in there. I don't know. I sort of went with a little bit of online for that. I've not done it with many of these, but Trayvon Wallace, I've got going to the Steelers. Ryan's got him going to the Broncos. PFN's got him going to the Packers. Now the very intriguing one. Pick 100. Edge. Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian was a top 100 pick here. And I think we were chatting about him not that long ago and kind of can, you know, it is a possibility he can go there. So Jalix Hunt, PFN had him go into the Arizona Cardinals, but Ryan McCluskey, where do you have the FCS sensation going?
I stand by my 7-round Lions mock draft on Monday, where I picked him. I think he comes to Detroit. We need an experimental outside linebacker edge to push and try to compete with James Houston. And this kid is the kid to do it. He's a potential absolute stud. And 100 might seem a lot high to some people. Like I said, some people, it could be too low. I've seen a lot of people say he's one of the most underrated players in the whole class. For me, this is not a pick. This is a pick I'm happily willing to gamble on a player, like I say, with huge upside. Like I say, despite the lack of actual competition he's played against the last few years, doesn't bother me in the slightest. Like I say, he could be an absolute gem. And he fits what we're trying to do. We're trying to get faster, bigger, with more bend around the outside. This guy, let's say, if we're going to put him in a 2-point stance as well, he could eat just like we did with Vaden.
Yeah. Now, I can see it. I can. I do. And like I say, Brad's not afraid to go out and make those picks. So Ryan's got Jalix Hunt going to the Lions. I've got him going to our non-conference arch nemesises. And I've got him going to the Dallas Cowboys. And the reason why I've got him to the Dallas Cowboys is the Dallas Cowboys love this type of player. He's 6'4", 252 pounds, as Ryan mentioned, former safety, played at linebacker, played at outside linebacker. You're probably going to make him into an outside linebacker at the next level. What does Dallas love? Athletic hybrids. Marquise Bell, the safety come linebacker out of the HBCUs, they made him undrafted into a first teamer. DeMarvian Overshawn last year, again, another former safety, playing linebacker, that hybrid outside linebacker edge. With DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons there, he doesn't have to start. Like, he doesn't have to take that many snaps at all. He has, and he does have raw talent. This is a point where I will use raw. But he has all the physical attributes, like Ryan says, to be an absolute menace at the next level. And that is a team that knows how to develop these hybrids. So I think the Cowboys might be all over him if they've got a pick in the right position. And they do. So yeah, I've got Jalix Hunt going to the Cowboys. Ryan has him going to the Lions. And PFN has them going to the Cardinals. Right, we are approaching about the halfway point of this now. So just quickly, for anyone who's didn't start this off with us, just to let you know what we are doing today. It's a special draft challenge. And basically, what I did is I went to a random number generator online. I put in the numbers between number one and Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, and I got it to pick 30 random numbers for me. And then what I did is I had Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator run a simulated mock draft with no involvement from me. And every player who fell on the number that had been picked out the number generator, we've put them into a spreadsheet. We've put where the PFN mock draft is sending them, and me and Ryan are competing against the simulator to see if we and our knowledge can predict where these players are going to go. So when the draft is over, we'll see if we are smarter than a mock draft simulator. So that's just for anyone who may just think, what the hell are they doing? We got 30 of these guys. We're about halfway. So just wanted to let you know, just so you understood where we're at. Right, let us move it on. And next we make pick 107, the wide receiver, Jermaine Burton from Alabama, the 6 foot, 196 pounder. PFN have him going to the New York Giants. Where do you have him going, Ryan McCluskey?
I have got him to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I say. Good, similar build to Calvin Ridley. Can play outside, can play inside. Not stacks or overwhelming production, but the guy's a winner. The guy's been in winning teams. The guy's made crucial plays at crucial times when it's needed to. And he offers a lot of value here for a team that is looking to stretch the field after watching one of his biggest weapon goes. Gabe Davis, that it just doesn't move the needle for me, handing in that big contract. So I think you still have to go out there and get another solid attacking threat for Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, like it. So I've got him going to the Eagles. So, as I say, he's 6 foot, 196. So, for me, the Eagles, Devonta Smith, you have a technical stud who does all the technical things of receiving really well. You got AJ Brown, who is the strength stud, the strength guy. He is great. But what do they not have? Really, they don't have the third level downfield threat, like the speed guy, which is what Jermaine Burton technically is. He ticks all the boxes. He's got the separation skills, and you're not going to spend a high pick on it because that Eagles wide receiver room, they ain't going to spend a first round pick on another wide receiver. This is the best of both worlds. You can get a receiver in the draft, probably day two still, but it's a lower day two pick, and he's what you've not got on the roster already. I think Burton makes a lot of sense there. So yeah, that's where I've got him going. I've got him going to the Eagles. Ryan has got it. Where did you have him going again? Sorry, right quickly. I'm just trying to...
Jags,
yeah, that was it. Jags. And Pro Football Network has him going to the Giants. Now, we have a chance here. We have an opportunity here, Ryan, to really upset Ashley Soden, because at number 111 from Florida State, our first and only Florida State player in this little challenge, and we got the intriguing one. We got the quarterback, Jordan Travis. Where is he going to end up? PFN's mock draft simulator says Washington, the Commanders, to back up whoever the next guy is going to be there. But where do you see Jordan Travis ending up after this draft?
I think he makes perfect sense for the Saints. Jameis Winston, gone. Team is skin. Offensive line trouble, and the jury is out on Derek Carr after like a year of $105 million deal, and he gets hurt. They can't afford to get a high-level rookie contract because they can't afford to take on the contract even on a rookie deal like a first-round quarterback. They just don't have the money. Like I say, John Travis, like you say, he's going to slide because of the injury. He's not going to be ready to play for potentially some time, but I think he could make a quite adequate backup. And if he lives up to his potential, you never know, maybe a subpar starter for a couple of years. Like, no offense, Ash, but he could come in and do a job for them. I say guys like Jake Haener, who was the other one, they've had rookie quarterbacks in the past that's just failed and just flopped and have struggled. Like, they do need to take a gamble on someone.
But, Did they take Ian Book?
Yeah. Ian Book played one game for like four picks. That was funny.
Yeah.
John Tavis just makes a lot of sense because they don't need him now, but also they could need a quarterback very soon. And they ain't got the capital, all the money for me to be going up and training in the first round.
I like that shout a lot. So for me, I've actually got Jordan Travis going to the New Jersey Jets. And I did a little bit of stuff on him, but he's had a top 30 visit with them. The big thing with the Jets, they don't have a young quarterback in the room. If you discount Zach Wilson, because he's done there, but you've got Aaron Rodgers, and you've got Tyrod Taylor as his backup. Now, Aaron Rodgers is not going to play forever. Tyrod Taylor is probably going to retire soon. If you're going to put Travis in a room where he's got two heavily experienced vets to learn from, I would think that would be a perfect place for him to sit and develop under no pressure to play. And opportunity knocks, because Taylor ain't the healthiest, and who knows what Rodgers is going to be after this year. There may be opportunities for him to come in and show what he's about. And we know the Jets, they like their short to mid-range guys. You know, I shall crucify me, but he ain't got the biggest arm going down the field and the biggest accuracy going down the field. You think of all these guys the Jets have, they have a type, and Travis fits their type. And I think he's got a good opportunity there, like sooner rather than as soon as next year, maybe, depending on what happens with Rodgers. So I've got him going to the Jets. Ryan has him going to the Saints. And I just need to put that in there. And PFN has him going to the Commanders. Right,
We've
drop.
not agreed yet. We've not agreed to PFN. There's not been a single agreement so far.
No. I'm feel. You know what? I'm going to be a
we
cocky
did not
ass
agree
here.
On any pick at all.
I'm feel. Me and you haven't, in fairness, though. But I'm feeling confident against PFN. If I lose this, then I'm going to be upset. The next pick out the bag was at number 133. Now, another intriguing prospect here. The wide receiver, Jamari Thrash from Louisville. And PFN has him going to the Buffalo Bills, which makes sense as they're in need of receivers. But do you agree about Jamari Thrash to them, or have you got different?
No, I've got him somewhere different. And this is my favourite fit of the whole mock. I think he makes sense for the LA Rams. Cooper Kupp is about to turn 31. He's missed 15 games due to injury the last 2 years. They've got Puka Nacua. They've got their outside receiver. Now imagine another electric slot guy that can work inside to out. Van Jefferson, gone. Two to out, well, minimal returner. But I'd like to say Stafford ain't retiring anytime soon. Jamari Thrash could absolutely eat in this offense. Cooper Kupp may have, what, 1, 2 years left in the league at this rate with how he's picking up knocks. I'm not bashing him, but he is slowing down. Injuries are taking a toll, and he's on the wrong side of 30. But I think it's time for them to go out there and get a splashy weapon. A lot of teams like Thrash. I think he'd do very well in LA.
Oh, yeah. That I like that. I must admit, I do a lot. I've got him going to the Panthers. So 6'188", Panthers. So you look at the Panthers wide receiver room, they've got a whole hodgepodge of average and utility receivers. They need to like properly rebuild that thing from the ground. It's safe. And there's just nothing really that you're going to get out of the guys there. You've got to properly build the unit. Bryce needs help. And for me, when I look at Jamari Thrash, I can't help but think, and I see the same type of receiver as Jermaine Burton, who we were talking about earlier. And when Bryce and Burton were at Bama together, they made magic happen. It was one of his best seasons there. I think Bryce would love a target who can, one, as you said, he's electric. He will get off the line of scrimmage quick. He will get separated quick. And given the amount of hits Bryce takes there, I think he'd love to have a receiver who's going to be available for him early to get the ball early, a safety net, as you will. And I think if you're going to rebuild your receiver room, Jamari Thrash ain't going to cost you a top pick in the draft. You will get him later on, but I still think he could be a starting slot this year, and you just develop him and you sort of take the rough with the smooth. Because again, they ain't going to be competing very soon. So this is the perfect chance to get guys who, when they reach the ceiling, are going to be far beyond what you've spent for them. So I've got Jamari Thrash going to the Panthers. Ryan has them going, has him going to the Rams. And the Bills was the answer from PFN. 135 next, just a couple of picks down. And this is one I had to do a lot on because I don't know this guy as well. The offensive guard, Laydon Robinson from Texas A&M. PFN had him going to the San Francisco 49ers, which is another one of their picks that I like. But Ryan, where do you see Laydon Robinson going?
This guy has started for like the last 2 or 3 years, and all of his games are right guard. And who is in dire need to guard the Raiders? Harnum is entering his last year of his rookie deal, may not be an extension. They've got no depth on that interior offensive line. Their offensive line play last year and last couple of years has been torrid. Their run game has struggled. Although I say Josh Jacobs actually did play well. Aside from the run game, quarterbacks have struggled. Let's go and get in there a plug and potential player. Right guard. Kick Donald over if you need to, or go out and, like I say, let him be the replacement for a year. If you don't want to pay him, he could be the natural replacement for a guy while he ends his rookie deal. So, yeah, I think he's someone that is in dire straits and they need offensive guards quite badly to LB, I believe.
Well, we're all in the same sphere. We're all on the West Coast at this point. I've got him going to the LA Rams. So, again, 6'3", 302 pounds. He's a really good run blocker. First and foremost, he knows how to block when it comes to running the ball. He's got really good short area speed to thrive in that outside zone system, which a lot of the West Coast offenses use. He needs a lot of polishing and development, but for the Rams, that's actually quite perfect. They've just paid Jonah Jackson. They've just paid Dotson. They've got Steve Avila, who's going to be the starting center of the future. They don't need starters on that line right now, but what they are desperately in need of is depth, because that chart is barren afterwards. So if you want a guy who's going to fit your system best in relief to start with and then long term the best, Leighton Robinson strikes me as that guy who would fit in that system really well. BFN said San Francisco. I can see the same reasoning with that, but I reckon he ends up in that area of the country for sure. So Ryan's got the Raiders. I have got the Rams. BFN has got the 49ers. Now, this is we're staying over that area of the country. We've got 143 next, and we've got the running back Bucky Irving from Oregon, and PFN reckon he is going to be an Atlanta Falcon. Ryan, where do you think Bucky Irving's going?
Can I just say that pick makes no sense? Why would he be a Falcon? They don't need a running back. The Bengals need a running back because they just traded Joe Mixon away for a bag of magic beans. They brought in Zach Moss, who's had, what, one good year? And their running back behind that is Chase Brown, who is coming in his second season. That running back room does not fill me with much confidence. And it is a massive year for the Bengals. And it's a huge year for Joe Burrow. So bring in a guy, like I say, that's been very productive in the Ducks, can slot straight into that running back rotation, take pressure off the other guys around him, and could have quite a productive rookie year. Like I say, I think he makes fit, and he can see snaps and touches straight away because the room in general, it lacks depth. And if Zach Moss all happens to him, they're suddenly in like panic mode at running back. I didn't agree with the decision to get rid of Joe Mixon at all. Didn't even save that much money.
No, they didn't. It just didn't make sense at all, that one did. But hey ho, teams, they make silly decisions when it comes to the running backs. So I've actually got Bucky Irving, and this may sound bold, but I've got him going to the Ravens. So he's 5'9", 192 pounds. Now, he belies his size. Like, he is tough, he is hard to bring down, he does really well in traffic, he's a chain mover. Like, don't let that size fool you. The guy is like a little mini bulldozer. But he's also a dual threat as a receiver, and he's quite a good dual threat as well. And you want, like, where's he going to slot in on a roster? Running back two, running back three. What have the Ravens got? They've got Derrick Henry as running back one. Derrick Henry is not used as a receiver very rarely. He is just a guy. He's the big bulldozer who you send in to do all the damage. And after that, you got Justice Hill. Now, Justice Hill's kind of been here, there. Is he going to be the guy? Is he not? But what do you want from your running back three if that's where he's going? You want a guy who can come out the backfield as a receiver, and you want a guy who can contribute in the run game as well if so called upon. Like, Bucky could do with some development as well. So I think he slots in perfectly as that running back 2AB with Justice Hill, or a running back three, which gives him something Derrick Henry doesn't. And in that system, I think he would flourish. So I would actually quite like to see Bucky Irving as a Raven. So I've got him as a Raven. Ryan's got him as a Bengal. So AFC North. We did have him. We both had him in the AFC North. And hang on, let's get Bengals in there. And yeah, the PFN have him going as the Falcons to definitely be the running back three there, because he ain't getting in front of Algier or Robinson. Pick now. Next is 151. The defensive tackle Tyler Davis out of Clemson. Pro Football Network has him going to the Cleveland Browns. Where do you have him going, Ryan?
I've got him going to the Chiefs. They need a nose tackle. They need defensive tackle help. DJ Reed is now of us. They've lost and it's a bit barren. It's looking a bit thin in the middle of their defensive line. I think he could add a pretty good instant impact, or at least in the run game himself. I think he'd make quite a smart addition because their line, like I say, they've lost a lot on defense. They've lost quite a few defenders. So, yeah, I think he would be a good help for them.
See, I've actually gone same conference. I've actually gone same conference as you again here. I've got him in the AFC West. I've got him going to the Denver Broncos. So 6'2", 301. So like you said, he's like a run disrupting three tackle with pass rush upside. I put here it's Kalijah Kansi-esque. He's that style of player. You get him one on one, he can do a lot of damage. You put him on the interior, put him on double teams. Man is going to struggle. But who's about to arrive in the AFC West? Jim Harbaugh's on the way. And what's Jim Harbaugh going to do? He's going to run that ball down your throat until you're able to stop it. So I think every team in that conference now should be stockpiling run defense specialists in its interior because you're going to need them. And they don't really have a lot at the defensive tackle position past their starters. So you're picking him on day two. I think this is he's going to be a rotational guy pretty quickly, and you're going to bring him in when you see the big guys coming onto the field. But yeah, I think he could definitely end up in that conference for sure. So I've got Broncos. You had him Chiefs, was it? You'd sent him to Chiefs. He's gone there. And Pro Football Network had him going to the Browns. Another little drop now to 163, and we got the offensive tackle Javon Foster out of Mizzou, and PFN again, they reckon he's going to Buffalo to be a Bill. But where do you think the behemoth left tackle from the Missouri Tigers is going, Ryan?
I think he needs to be a cowboy. I think it's time to start their offensive line rebuild. It's crumbling. I say he is a big boy, he is strong, and they may be forced to start a rookie. And like I say, if you're looking like middle round options, he's not the worst choice if you're gonna have to plug in someone inexperienced. So yeah, it's time to blood they need to blood in some talent straight away. So I like Foster to the Dallas.
And I've got him coming to the NFC North. I've got him actually going to the Chicago Bears. So 6'5", 314 pounds. We know the Bears love taking flyers on O-line on day three. They brought in a ton of day three guys on the offensive line recently. But Foster, he is an athletic run mauler with high pass pro upside. And if you think about what that Bears team loves to establish the run. They love to run the football on the ground. They want a tackle who could run game first, pass pro second. I think he fits their style of a relief guy, whether he's sixth guy on the line, you bring him in to help with the run game and the jumbo packages. I actually think he fits the Bears really well, and I think they're going to carry on taking flyers on next. They're not going to spend the picks high because, God forbid, they try and protect the quarterback with first round picks. But yeah. Javon Foster to the Bears makes sense long and short term for me. So I've got him going to the Bears. Ryan's got him to the Cowboys and the Bills for PFN. And then 4 picks later, we're staying offensive line and we're back to Michigan again. We've got the offensive guard, Ladarius Henderson. And PFN reckons he is going to be a Steeler. Ryan, where do you reckon he's going?
I think Ladarius could be a Lion. Right there. I know him from his Arizona State days. He is a long term, and I mean a long term option. He's played most positions on the O line in 4 or 5 years. I say he has played both guard positions at some point or another. He's older. He's experienced. I'd say he's a winner. I'd say he's got a lot under his belt and he's very trusted. And we don't need him to start straight away. We don't need him to start for maybe a year. Like I said, I think it makes a lot of sense to just stay in state. I think this kind of guy will just pick up. Like I say, you just work on him, just mold him. But what you've got is he's got a pretty solid base to work with already.
See, I think he's going to keep his state connections going, but I think he's going to follow his state connections across the country. And I think he's going to go with Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. So 6'4", 309 pounds. Like you said, he's played a lot of left tackle, a lot of left guard, highly versatile. The Chargers are in need of defensive depth on the line. If they get Fuanga, the line's pretty good. But you think you've got Rashawn Slater at left tackle, you're in no dire need to get a guy in there right away and on the left guard's position as well. I think he's going to be able to develop there nicely. Like you said, he's going to take time, but he's going to be with his coach from college, who probably, he transferred him in. So he's obviously got a lot of love for the player. He's played over in that part of the world as well. So it's not going to be unfamiliar to him. He's familiar to his coach. He's going to provide big depth on that. I think you're going to see a lot of day three Michigan guys go there. If he can get them, develop them, and keep them around, he will do. As I say, he's good depth for Slater right away, if he needs to be, but he can develop to the point where he could be great depth in the future. So I've got Ladarius Henderson going to the Chargers line. Ryan hasn't come in to the Lions, and the Steelers were the pick from PFN. Next, we're at 173, and Oh, this was difficult for me because I really like this guy as my day three guy. The linebacker, Aaron Casey from Indiana. PFM reckons he's going to be a chief and win a whole load of Super Bowls. Where do you see Aaron Casey going, Ryan?
I think Aaron Casey would be really fun in Dallas. So Leighton Van Der Esch has just unfortunately had to retire. As you mentioned, they've got Marquise Bell. They've got DeMarvion Overshown. They've got Damone Clark. So they've got a big mix right now, like inside, like middle linebacker. I'd like to throw this guy in and see if he can beat some of them out. Because, like I said, I don't think some of them are all that. I think there's a job there to be won if he wants it. And they do really like to do things with their linebackers. Casey could be quite a fun addition in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, can see it for sure. I've got him going, and I've double dipped here, position to team, but I also have him as earmarked as a stealer. Now, this is not just a lazy thing saying every linebacker should be a stealer, but Aaron Casey's going to be a day three pick. But what do the Steelers value in their picks? You've got to be a great special teamer. Like they took Myles Killebrew off us. You see them trying again and again and again with these day three pick type guys to see if they can develop them into first teamers. Aaron Casey is a superb special teamer. Like he will contribute day one on that team. But him as a player, 6 foot, 231 pounds, he looks like an inside linebacker. He sure as hell hits like an inside linebacker. His only issue, a little bit, is just up here. Does he think like an inside linebacker? Can he utilize the IQ side of it the most at the next level? He's not going to need to start in pit right away, and he's got some of the best guys in the league around him. Some of like these guys are the ones you want to learn off. Like he will soak it all in like a sponge. I feel it's a perfect place to just marinate him, get him ready, and bring him up, and at least have him as a solid part of your rotations. If you can get a solid rotation guy in that linebacker room from day three, Steelers would be delighted with that, and just the way he plays the game, his attributes. Yeah, he screams Steeler to me at that point. So I've got him going to the Steelers. Ryan has him going to the Cowboys. Was Cowboys, wasn't it? It was. Yeah. And the Chiefs from PFN. And then 3 picks later, we're at pick 176. And we have the first of our two cornerbacks from Maryland. We got them both here. Taheeb Still is up first. PFN reckons he's going to be a 49er. Ryan, where do you reckon Taheeb Still is going?
I found this fit fairly easy. I think he's a giant. They have won. Well, actually, they've already got his teammate. Deontay Banks played multiple years with Taheeb Still on the outside. Why not reunite them? Like I said, because on the other side, you're looking at Darnay Holmes, I think, is the other cornerback too. I think you could upgrade that position. And the second, they just lost Xavier McKinney. It's reeling. It's hurting. It needs a bit of juice on the outside. And their nickel position's not great. Like I say, so I think Taheeb could just work around inside and outside if needs be. Let's put the tap. Let's put the Terps back together in a Metro life.
Oh, see, now that you've explained it the way you have, I kind of don't like my pick as much now you've done that now. But so I've got Taheeb Still going to the Packers. Now, people go, you've already done Packers. I think the Packers are going to pick multiple corners in this draft because they need multiple corners. I had them going with Cooper DeJean earlier on. But Taheeb Still, again, he's a guy who's been talking a lot with the Packers. And again, it's just, I know Jeff Hafley, the style of cornerback he likes. Taheeb Still fits that mold of cornerback the new DC likes, and I think they are going to bring in guys who he can work with. So, yeah, Taheeb Still, I have him as a Packer. Ryan has him as a Giant. And PFN, again, they had him as a 49er. 15 picks later. And he's not going here in the draft. He's going 100 picks earlier. Matt's going to smile because he mentioned this on the pod yesterday. But number 191, the edge, Mohamed Kamara from Colorado State. PFN reckons he's going to be a Colt, but what do you reckon, Ryan?
I don't like this pick. I don't want it to come true. I've got him as a Viking.
Oh.
Danielle Hunter gone. DJ Wonnum gone. Marcus Davenport gone. They've brought in what Jonathan Green had, but the pass rush, it's gone. Brian Flores with Mohamed Kamara in his back pocket. God, what a toy he'd love him with. Like I say, he's just got that natural pass rush instinct. I would hate to face this kid twice a season, but he just screams to me, Viking.
Oh yeah. I like that. Damn. Oh God. Yeah, that is a pick I can see happening for sure. I hope mine happens now. I hope that doesn't. So I don't think I don't think Mo Camara is going to be allowed to leave the state. He's a Colorado State player. They play at Mile High occasionally. I think the Denver Broncos are going to be all over him. I know he's met with George Patton, but the Broncos have a really bad edge rooms. If you look at it, they've got like a mass of unproven rookies and average stars. You've got like Nick Benito. You've got my guy from Arkansas last year. I can never remember his name. The outside linebacker, he's there. But you don't have like a bona fide starter on there. And your vets aren't that great. You need to replenish that room. And you need to start off by getting a guy who can get to the quarterback. Like, look what Carl Aftis has done for the Chiefs. Like, you've got to get weapons on the edge. He's 6'1", 248 pounds. If he was 3 inches taller, he'd be a first-round pick. That's how stupid it is. He's got the arsenal of pass rush moves. He's going to be an impact day-one player on passing down situations while you develop the run game. I think he's going to be just fine. And history agrees, because who was the last major undersized pass rusher to come from Colorado State who had nearly exactly the same measurements as him? Shaquille Barrett. And I think most people would like a Shaq Barrett on their team. Multiple time Super Bowl winner. Like, these guys have pedigree. And I just, these Mountain West guys are tough as fuck. They can overcome all these challenges. So I've got Mo Camara going to the Broncos, and probably about three rounds prior to where this was had. And Ryan has got him going to the Vikings. Let me just update my chart here. Pro Football Network had him going to the Colts. And then one pick later, Michigan, we're back again. They've that many players in the draft. Of course, we were going to get multiple Michigan players. We've got the wide receiver Cornelius Johnson from Michigan. PFN reckons he's going to be a Seahawk. Ryan, what do you reckon he's going to be?
Oh, this is just easy. He's a Charger. I say Quentin Johnston, people don't trust him. Mike Williams, gone. Keenan Allen, gone. Like you say, like, it just, they need a receiver. So why not bring in a receiver that you know that can be wide receiver too if Quentin Johnston gets his shit together?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. It's pretty good. It's pretty safe assumption. If he's a Michigan player, there's a good chance he's going to go to the Chargers. But I've got him going to the Bills. So I'm kind of similar with you. I know you've had your like Bills wide receiver earlier. He's 6'3", 212 pounds. Now, he needs a lot of development because obviously he's been in the run-heavy system at Michigan. You could saw what he could do. I think it was 21 when he had his really good year. He saw what he can be, but he's not quite got there yet. The Bills are obviously going to take a wide receiver in round one. They're going to take one high, but they still need depth at outside receiver. There's not much there. And they need a guy who they can sort of sit and develop and be, make a long-term weapon there for them. I think he's in a good position if he goes to the Bills. He's staying quite close to home as well, relatively speaking. But Bills just make a lot of sense. They're going to double dip. And it feels like Cornelius Johnson's the right development guy to go with the right one, round one guy for them. So I've got Bills. Ryan has got Chargers. And the Seahawks was the pick for Pro Football Network. Right, we've got six guys left now. And we're getting to really late in the draft. So this is where you really have to do your research. 197, we have the edge Eric Watts from UConn. All 6'6 and 274 pounds of man. PFN reckons he's going to the Falcons. Where do you see the UConn prospect going, Rye?
For all the same reasons you said for Kamara, I see Watts going to Denver. Like I say, they've got two rookie edges that are middling, already like 2.5 years into their deal. Their D-line needs work, and Eric Watts is really good against the run. He's an animal in the run game, being such a tall guy. Brilliant. Pass rush upside. Like I say, their D-line, it's faltering. It needs some juice. So, yeah. I think this would be a super fun addition on that line.
Got him going to Denver. So I've got him going, and the rich get richer. I would actually put him on the 49ers. And for me, this makes a lot of sense because they've got a lot of highly paid edges there. And eventually, you're going to want to start taking swings to see if you can at least find some depth on there, which means you don't have to pay one of these guys very high. And like I said,
Same for example as well, isn't it?
6'6", 274. Like, he is a defensive coordinator's wet dream at edge. Like, the stuff you can do with him, and you don't need to do, there's no way he needs to start day one at the 49ers. They've got Gross Matos as the third guy there, and they've got a whole host of guys behind. Eric Watts is going to take a lot of time to develop. So again, you get him on your team, you finesse that pass rush. He's going to learn from some of the best in the business. You can bring him in on obvious running downs if you want him to play a little bit as well, because that size is going to be difficult for teams to work with. The 49ers could potentially get a major day three steal with it. I trust them to develop a D lineman more than most teams in the league. So I think it makes sense for them to start swinging at DL just to bring the costs down in future. So I've got him going to the 49ers. Ryan's got him going to the Broncos. I just need to quickly put that in there. Number 204, we are in the 200s. So we have the defensive tackle, Juwan Briggs from Cincinnati. And PFN reckons he's going to be a Buffalo Bill. But what do you think, Ryan?
This was the hardest player for me to allocate to someone. I know very little about him, and being a pure defensive tackle, but he's played all over the line. I thought, what's a young team that has invested in all the weapons and the gadgets? I sent to the Texans because for me, they've not invested in their trenches. Right now, they're investing in everything outside. Let's give him a rookie defensive tackle. Let's say that has played all over the defensive line since now. I believe he's got all techniques. Like all four or five positions. And like I said, I think he could slot in quite nicely in that D'Amico Ryan's defensive line. Someone just offer a bit of versatility. Even just like I said, at this point right now, you just try to make the team as a backup role or just a bit of depth. I think that's what he offers. Like I say, it's an exciting team. So let's give it another young piece.
Oh, I can see that. So you're going to put him on the Texans. I am putting him on the Vikings, actually. So 6'1", 230. And like you said, highly versatile defensive lineman. He's effective against the run. Like, you need that in the NFC North at the minute. If his first defining feature is against the run while you develop the other things, that's fine. Because they've got good edges there. The edges do the pass, the edges do the rushing work, the quarterback pressure work at Minnesota. On the interior, you want guys who are good against the run. You want depth there, guys you could potentially bring through. That makes a lot of sense for me for their depth and what they can, and they're good at developing D line as well. So you're going to put him in a system where hopefully they'll max his potential. Hopefully not for us, but you've got to kind of look at these fits there. So Juwan Briggs, I've got going to the Vikings. You've got to the Texans, and PFN had to the Buffalo Bills. 206. Next, we have the running back, Isaac Garendo from Louisville, and PFN reckons he's going to be a Cleveland Brown. But where do you have the ACC prospect going?
I think he makes perfect sense for the Eagles. They've got their running back one. So what do they need? A change of pace and the guy I expect to catch the ball at the backfield like DeAndre Swift did. I think he can challenge Kenneth Gainwell for that running back two, running back three position. And at this point, like you say, you're getting a guy that's just a flyer, got no to lose. And their offensive line, well, it's shown anyone can run behind it because Swift just had a career year. So yeah, this would be a super fun addition. I said, do they need him? No, it's a luxury. But they're in the luxury business, aren't they? They've just thrown all their money at their running back one. But I've seen, like I said, we saw in the pre-draft process, the bowl games, like Azagura, he's a fun kid. And the combine, he looked good. I think he could be a real weapon.
So I've kind of gone similar to you. It's kind of a luxury for the team I'm taking him to, but there's also good reasoning behind it. So I'm going actually from 2 picks ago. I'm back to the 49ers here. So 6'2", 221 pounds. Obviously, they don't need a running back one because they've got Christian McCaffrey. But you look at the depth behind Elijah Mitchell, after starting really well, has kind of not really come on where he should be. And then you've got the old LSU guy, Tyrion Price Davis, is it? It's Tyrion Price Davis they've got there, who's not really done much. And both the knocks on them too is they can't pass protect. Now, one thing Isaac Garendo's really good at doing is picking up blitzers in pass protection and protecting his quarterback. And for them, he's got very little mileage on the clock. I think he had, what, 120 summit carries this year. He'd not had 60 in a season before that. He'd had loads of injury problems earlier in college. They've gone now. But in terms of them spending a late day three pick on a guy to come into their running back room and again give them something they don't really have right now, which is a good guy to protect the QB and to also potentially take a load as well, because Grendo can take running back one loads. He's just not really needed to in college, but he did this year. So I don't know. I just feel like they're going to keep reloading at the position. I don't think they'll be happy. They'll never be fully happy. And of course, McCaffrey can't carry on taking on what 300 or whatever stupid amount of touches he had last year. His body's going to break eventually, or he's going to have to reduce it. So you're going to want guys who can come in and take a good portion of that off him. So I've got Isaac Garrido going to the 49ers. Where did you put him again, Rai? Sorry, I just need to.
Eagles.
Eagles, that was right. Yes, got you in there. We've got three more to go now, and we're going back to Maryland, which, I mean, God, Maryland's got to be some sort of DBU now, because just every year they got DBs coming out their ass coming into the draft. And this time it's Jaquan Sheppard, the other corner in this draft. And they reckon he's going to be a Colt. So if my knowledge is quite right, Maryland, Indiana, that they're not too far apart, are they? That's kind of
No,
a
Baltimore, Indiana. I think they're quite close.
that's kind of a local connection there. But yeah, they've got him going to be a Colt. But where do you see Jaquan Sheppard going?
If he's actually on the board at this pick right now, Brad Holmes might be picking four. I would want him. But you sent Taheem Stills to the Packers. I'm sending Jaquan Sheppard to the Packers. And I know because I read that I believe he's only had one top 30 visit, and it's to Green Bay. And this kid is like 6 foot 1. I like 200 pounds. He is a big boy, and for me, yeah, they need to replace Jair Alexander. I said, I think this kid could kind of stem the floor, stem the bleeding that aspect. I said, Keyshawn Nixon corner, but he's a returner. Kevin King's kind of just come out of mini retirement, going to Atlanta, not going back to Green Bay. They need some outside help, and they've brought the kid in for a visit. So if he's on the board here, you've got to think they're gonna pull the trigger because they've already met with him. This is a steal right now because it's a throwaway pick.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see. I like sort of how we're thinking there. We are thinking along these lines. But yeah, he's 6'2", 205 pounds. He has elite size. And I say he's coming from a system which is actually quite proven now. You look at this, I mean, because they got safety in the draft this year as well. So, and they had two top
Bro,
picks
so
last
bad.
year.
He's a smoke too.
Yeah. So this is DBU. So he's coming from a school with some pedigree in regards to this. I've actually got him going to the Raiders, though, and the reason why, because I think I've already sent a corner to the Raiders, but you think again, you're playing against Justin Herbert, you're playing against Patrick Mahomes, you need to stack your secondary. You need to take as many swings as possible on potential elite coverage corners, and you do that by finding the pedigree, finding the build. This is what he has. So he can play outside, but he can also roll inside to safety as well. And I know they're not kind of sweet at that position either. So positionally versatile could help them in a multitude of ways instantly. I think this almost acts as a double dip for them as position wise. You're probably going to get another corner anyhow, but I love Jaquan Sheppard there. I think if he's going to thrive, throw him in the deep end and then see what happens. You could potentially get a stud out of him very quickly. So I've got Jaquan Sheppard going to the Raiders, you've got him going to the Packers, and PFN has him going to the Colts. 248, the wide receiver, Ladeiatrick Griffin from Mississippi State, and PFN has him going to the Buffalo Bills. And this is the one and only time I've agreed with the PFM mock draft. So I'm going to quickly go first on this one. But for me, Ladeiatrick Griffin makes all the sense in the world for the Bills. 5'10", 181. Now, this guy's going to be, first off, a special teams coach's wet dream. He's a running back. He's a receiver. He's a kick and punt returner. Special teams in general. And when you're looking at this small guys in the league who have all these they can do everything in the backfield. You can use them on special teams. Who did the Bills draft a couple of years ago for this particular
Shakir.
thing? Khalil Shakir. But as you said, That Buffalo Bills wide receiver room has been decimated, and you've got to figure that Shakir's been playing well at receiver. He's going to focus, factor more into their first team. So they're probably going to want to get him away from the return stuff so that he can maximize his potential as a receiver. So why not do that by bringing in the next guy? I look specifically at guys like the Dolphins would have made a good fit here, but I don't think A-Chain is going to break just far enough away from that mold yet. I think Ladaitre Griffin with the Bills is a perfect fit for that system. He will be the new Shakir while Shakir goes on and be an absolute stud receiver for them this year. So I'm agreeing with PFM with the Bills, but where would you send Ladaitre Griffin, Ryan?
See, I've gone the other way. I'm sending him somewhere to be the kick returner. Which team has just lost one of the best kick returners in NFL history and also spent loads of money on a flashy new quarterback? He's an Atlanta Falcon. Like you say, they love a kick returner because Cordarrelle Patterson, the best of all time, he's gone. Like you say, this kid instantly steps in as a returner and he also gets a quarterback that on a good day has got the best arms in the league. They think their window is just about to open because of all the money they're throwing at it. So you might as well go out there and get, like I say, one of the best kick returners in college football and a dynamic weapon to pass offense. Imagine how fun the Falcons offense would be with what they've got now. And then add in a little guy that can also take kickoffs to the house. Yeah. This is just fun.
You know what? I like it again. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. That Falcons team is going to be good. So, I like it. Okay, and we've got one more left now. So, we are on to, and this is I didn't do this by chance. I didn't do this. We actually got Mr. Irrelevant. So we got Mr. Irrelevant, and Mr. Irrelevant in this draft was Jarrett Kingston, the offensive guard from USC, 6'4", 306 pounds, and they had him going to the New Jersey Jets. Where do you see Jarrett Kingston going with Mr. Irrelevant, Ryan?
Before he was a USC Trojan, he was a Washington State Cougar. And a team that I led to their depth chart right now has got one guard on one side. Like I said, has just lost Evan Brown. I think he makes perfect sense for Seattle. He will have no problem moving back up the coast to go up to Seattle, being a former Wazoo. And like I said, they need some offensive interior guard, like I say, some help there. And like I say, he's going to sit, he's going to learn. But yeah. He could potentially be a low-key average starter one day and learn behind the guys they've got right now because they don't have a lot on that offensive line in the way of depth. It's been a rough few years then. They've lost a lot of guys. But geographically, it should be no issue for him either.
So you've got him going to the Seahawks. Okay. I am going to finish this whole thing off. I have him going to the Tennessee Titans, and I have him going there because having read a lot of, again, I knew nothing about Jarrett Kingston going into this. But a lot of the stuff I've seen, and again, I don't trust USC players very much, but he struggles a bit at guard. They reckon his future is going to be at center, potentially guard center, somewhere in that interior. I'm looking for a team that can develop its offensive line guys well, and who is short of depth at center. The Titans have just brought in Lloyd Cushenberry, but behind him there's nobody right now. And I know Kingston has been training as a center in the off in the postseason, seen evidence of that. So if they're going to go quite late on for a guy to put behind Cushenberry as a bit of depth and train as a backup center, relief center for the future, I will pick the Titans with that one. So that, I believe, is everybody. And now all we can do, Ryan, is wait and see whether we know our stuff, or I hope I want at least five, but I don't know. It's gonna be fun. Stakes for the draft now. So yeah, that was our. There is a lot of love going to the Bills, Grand. The thing is, Grandizer, with this, we picked the players at random, so we could have picked 30 players who we all felt was a best scheme fit for the Packers. If this wasn't one scheme fit for every team in the NFL, it was just complete randomization, and it threw out a very weird assortment of guys. But I found it quite fun.
We only got one quarterback. Just like I say, the odds of that so unlikely.
We got Jordan Travis. Yeah, like literally Jordan Travis. We didn't get any of the top 10 pick, but I kind of like that because the first round mocks, a lot of people kind of know, and we've had to do a lot of the lower picks in there as well. So, like, we are basing this purely on the what we know and what we've researched. So we've had to work really hard to do this. So yeah, that is the main thing we had on our show, to be fair. If you've got any questions or anything you want to ask whilst we're still here, please do so. I know there was one earlier from Brent, because Brent super chatted us $10. Appreciate that, Brent. Thank you very much. I know I commented at the time, but I just want to get through the stuff first. But he says Haynes slash Stiggers and don't care. Yep, you've got fans here. Go Army, go Blue. Well, you know, go Navy, but hey ho, NCAA champions. Do you think Brad will double down on offensive line or another position in this draft, Ryan?
Yes. I'm not sure which decision he will double down. It wouldn't surprise me if it's guard or edge rusher. I can see it.
See, I would go one further. I reckon he might triple down on offensive line. If he goes for day three prospects on the offensive line, I think he might triple down, but he'll certainly double. I'm pretty sure it'll be the offensive line, but outside of that, I don't know if edge, because we've got Houston and
I think that could
Pascal.
be a corner as well. I reckon they might draft one high corner and that's it.
See, I think they might double dip corner. I think corner's the second likeliest position. I think they could go high. And then I think at least you take a development guy. Like, but it's like you said, if Jaquan Shepherd sat there at like 205 or whatever, and like then you're like, yeah, maybe I should do that. So I think it will go offensive line, I think it will go corner, and then I think, yeah, I can't do defensive line. I guess that's a cop out, but yeah, defensive line, screw it. They double dip at that. We'll take interior and edge as well. So those are the ones I have for you there. Anything else? It's not the Buffalo Bills draft show, Grandizer. It's just how it works. To be honest, I sent
I
most
only sent one player
players.
to the Bills at the whole thing.
Yeah, hang on. Who did we send the most to? So I sent two to the 49ers. Two to the 49ers. I spent three to the Packers. Like there was a lot of Packers centric players in here. I sent one to the Bears. I sent a few to the Chargers, but we got a lot of Michigan players. So I sent quite a lot to the Raiders as well. You sent a lot to the Cowboys. There's a Cowboys show for you. Oh dear me. Let's just have a quick look on Twitch. We've had a first time chatting there from Nikki VT. Hope you are doing well. If that was a long time ago, I apologize, but thanks very much for commenting in there. Marmocker goes, what did you send to Kansas City? Who did I send to Kansas City? Hang on, let's go back. Me.
I sent a nose tackle.
Yeah, you did. Chiefs, I sent Adonai Mitchell. Oh, that's all I did for the Chiefs. I just sent Adonai Mitchell there. And you sent Tyler Davis.
Yeah, I sent a DT.
Yeah. So basically, I don't. If you've not been in since the start, Marmarker, we've been. We're challenging
Oh,
the.
and
Which,
Patrick Paul, I sent
oh yeah, oh
offensive
yeah,
tackle.
but we're challenging a mock draft simulator. Well, basically, I picked 30 numbers, put it into a random number generator for the draft. Did a mock draft with PFN's network. Got the 30 names that came out on the numbers, and we're challenging the mock draft simulator. See if we're better than it is. Hence why the show's called Rise Against the Machines. We're trying to show that these mock draft machine simulators are nothing compared to us. Let me just quickly fire Matt's message, because I think we are about getting there. Yeah, sorry, Mal. I've tried to keep explaining it, as I didn't want to bore people repetitively going through, but that is what we've been doing. Grandizer goes, every time I went to listen here, it was the Bills. Oh, screw it. Let's talk about the Bills some more then, shall we? Or should we talk about the Dolphins? Dolphins only have like six picks this year. Because weirdly enough, when I did the mock draft thing,
They forfeited one, didn't they?
I used, yeah, the Dolphins have forfeited a pick this year because they're cheaters. So you don't really want us to talk about the Dolphins this year. They've been naughty. I can't remember which pick they lost. Did they lose their first round? Not the first round. They've lost.
It was a day two, I think.
They've lost a day two pick this year. I think they've lost some in the 90s. So, yeah, the Bills haven't lost any picks for being naughty grandizer. We sent a long snapper. We didn't have a long snapper in this. Penn
No,
State
we
have
didn't
got.
get either.
We didn't get a kicker. Oh, no, it would have been great. Yeah, but kickers are like on the mock draft simulators, they're down in the 300s. So, no one, they never pick a kicker. Unless there's like a human element to it, and I'm doing it. Maybe I should just do an all kicker draft next time and do that. Ken Snyder goes defensive tackle, cornerback, edge, guard, wide receiver, tackle, center, even quarterback are all possible. Immo, I mean, yeah, DT is for sure. Corner definitely is. Edge definitely is. Guard, yes, as long as it's Christian Haynes. Wide receiver, yes. Yeah, I think the way Brad drafts. Every position's in play. Like he's just gonna pick good players. He thinks there's another great in running back there. He'll take another great running back, even with us having Gibbs and Monty. That's kind of just how he operates. Grandizer goes, even the Packers got more love. No, we're just sabotaging the Packers, sending all these players there to them. This is just something fun to end the season with. Not a Lions one. It was just all, all over the show there. I don't really think there's a great deal else, but Matt's still not here yet, so we're gonna just go on a little bit until he does. Ken goes, I see many people draft as a safety in the mocks, not many draft a linebacker. Could be.
I did
I
a
feel like
safety on Monday. I think we need a safety.
I'm surprised you didn't go Tyler Newbin, but I guess he was gone by then, or do you just
Yeah, I genuinely think he might slip into the end of first round.
Yeah.
I would love Tyler Newbin, but if we trade out of the first round, I know it'll upset a lot of people, but imagine like 34, 35. If we took Tyler Newbin, I wouldn't be mad. I mean, millions of people would be mad.
Yeah.
But I love him. I think he's an absolute stud. But yeah.
Yeah, it's
Linebacker is difficult because, right, it's a, like, Derek Barnes had a good year last year. If he'd had a bad year, I'd be like, yep, we've got to replace him. Jack Campbell, like say, ups and downs. Anzalone only bought the second year into the 3-year contract extension. Like, I just don't see him going anywhere anytime soon because we're not in a position where he can go.
this is the thing. It was, oh, what was it? It was about 3 weeks ago. I was on stream with Micro Mike and we were doing this whole draft chatter.
A lot
And
of linebackers I like, but I just don't see
somebody,
where they're sitting.
yeah, somebody specifically messaged on like the live viewer stream many times going, why is nobody talking about linebacker? Why is nobody talking about linebacker? And then I sort of actually spent some time thinking about it, and I'm like, well, actually, yeah, Barnes last year, Anzalone, you can cut him cheap next year. Malcolm, who knows what's going on there? Campbell, still a work in progress, but it isn't beyond the realm of possibility. Like, actually, I fell in love with Junior Colson in this process. If Junior Colson was to slip to 63, 60, I'm gone. I'll get my picks mixed up. 61, and he's
Yeah.
there, like. I know I'm a Christian Haynes guy, but if you picked Colson there, I would actually secretly love it because, again, so many interior threats down the middle of the field in this league. You need good coverage linebackers. The NFC North's going to be crying for them soon enough. So I get what you mean, Ken. It is weird how no one's talking linebacker, but I think everyone's just looking at the now. Nobody's looking at the future with the position where, like with safety, I think safety's big because, again, you've got Kirby and Iffy. And Brian Branch, but you don't really want to play Branch there. So, like, you do need a safety here. And I reckon it might be higher than a lot of people. If we get a safety in the top 2 days, and this is a year I don't really truly love any of them. So, of course, they're going to pick one high because they never do when we have a guy that I love.
There's a lot of high-level safeties left, like say the free agency market for a safety this year.
I think
It's
that's where we go.
like,
Yeah.
look at Justin Simmons and Quandre Diggs. They're just sat there. Like, must have had very little interest.
Either that or like vets like them will want to go to a contender, but they're not going to want to go to a contender that's got a stacked safety room. I think they're just going to sit, wait for the draft, draw up a list of teams where they'll be needed instantly, and then they'll be like, hey, I'm ready to talk to you. Because that's what players do at this point now.
I'd wait until the draft now.
You don't want to sign now and then like us sign like Tyler Newbin or whatever in the draft in a few weeks, and then you're like, Angler, actually. Yeah, my path to playing might not be as easy just then. So I can understand why these players awaiting. Ken goes, it's the high pick of Campbell. No one wants to double dip on in the linebacker room. Yeah, I can get that. I get why people won't want to spend another one high, but it's a possibility. Grandizer goes, I'm bummed out on this draft offseason, not seeing any content creators produce prospect profile short vids. We've not had a chance yet. I will see if we can do something, Grandizer, because I was meant to be doing tape watching sessions. I've just not had a chance with the amount of work I've been doing, but if we can get some stuff out, because Tom did them for us last year. I don't know whether Tom can do them at this point, so... but yeah, Tom was the one who did them for us there. Grandizer goes, Anthony and Ryan, did you see Micro Mike's Lions 7-round mock draft he dropped earlier? No, I've not seen it yet, but I know Micro Mike. He's got good reasoning behind it, so I'm sure it's a good draft.
Who's in it?
There.
Put in the comments. I'm curious who he took.
Yeah, put it in the comments, Grandizer, because I didn't see it, so we can quickly have a look at that. I know Matt's suddenly arrived now, so I don't want to keep him waiting too long. I don't think we have any other questions in there. While you do that, Grandizer, I will just do our outkeeping stuff. So our next shows, the main Lions podcast will be back on Monday. We'll be doing our first round mock drafts. That's an entire first round mock draft. We've got to predict the 32 picks. We can trade, we can make crazy deals, we can do all sorts. So join us for that. It's always our fun show of the year there. As I mentioned for us on the college podcast, this is it. This is the last show. Obviously, the draft is right around the corner. There's not a lot of collegiate stuff to do right now. We will be back a few weeks after the draft. So we're probably looking at about a month from now, and we will be back because we'll be starting conference preview season early this year, because I do it every year. I start too late. I can't do all the conferences and all my hard work. It's good, but I want to do all the conferences this year. And I've got a lot of other shows planned as well. So we'll be back in about a month. So, but we'll let you know the results of today's challenge on the pod after the draft. We'll see if me and Ryan have beaten the mock draft simulator there. Brent asked us one more before we quickly go. He goes, who's a surprise late round pick or an undrafted free agent? A surprise late round pick or an undrafted? I guess I'll take this the way of, who do you think's going to slide right down there who nobody's expected? Because every year you get the guy who slides inexplicably. Is there anyone who comes to mind for you who could just slide off the face of the earth? See, the one that immediately comes to mind to me, he's ranked at the 130s in the draft now, but Kalen King has died. Like, his stock has just... That's not even day two territory anymore. He was a day one pick in mock drafts at the start of this season, and he's now in the 130s. Like, that could just transcend to this whole process, but... Who do you reckon?
I reckon that this mock having him at like 70 is like mental. The guy could go like 170, 200. His off-season has been, it's been bad. He's been slow. He didn't set the most bench reps. The workouts haven't been great. Like I say, the agility in that, it just don't look there. Like I say, so I feel like he's going to slide. Because a lot of running backs right now, like, people are going wild for guys like, I just saw someone today. Texas running back. Everyone thinks
Jonathan Brooks.
Everyone thinks he's like running back one now. Like I say, like I think Allen could be in for a skid. If he falls far enough, I am pulling the trigger to battle with Craig Reynolds. I'll tell you that.
So you know what? I'm going to put the knife all the way into Leonard Taylor, because I put the knife in him at the start of this season when people said he was a first round pick. And he's also slid into day three consideration now. I think Leonard Taylor's going to go all the way down to the bottom. Like, I just do not see the appeal with him whatsoever. This is a weak DT class, and he's still in free fall. So I reckon he could be the surprise guy that ends up really late day three or undrafted free agency, who then will probably provide good value for you if you can rescue him. But that would be the one there for me. Grandizer does ask us one last quick one. Have you guys watched Devin Rice, the defensive end from Northern Iowa? I can't personally say I have. The guy we know from there is Christian Boyd, the D tackle. He didn't come to the Lions local pro day either, but that was the quarterback who came from Northern. I don't know him either, so. No, sorry, Grant. That is too far beyond our scope, but we can't do everybody.
The Lions local pro day, like, I don't get, because not all the schools are local, but I also don't
know. No, but the players are local. The kids, if you go to high school in Michigan.
How far outside of Michigan do you have to be from?
Doesn't matter. If you've been to high school in Michigan, you can play anywhere in the country and you can come back to the local pro day because, like, your family probably still reside in the area and that. So as long as you are
from Michigan, or like, I don't know how you qualify for this.
As long as you are from a Michigan area high school when you came up to the collegiate level, I think you qualify as a result of that. So that's how a lot of these guys were able to, like, Rook or I can never say it. I'm good with names. I just call him Rook. Like, that's it. He's just staying Rook. That is going to be that. But yeah, thank you to everybody who has, again, supported us this season on the College Pod. We really appreciate you. We wouldn't carry on doing it if none of you enjoyed it. So yeah, Brent, Lisa, all you guys, we really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll be back with us next year when we start again in a month. Like I say, we're going to get a lot more content going. We're going to have the conference preview seasons going. I'm going to release some material this year. So all the stuff we do in the shows, once the shows are over, if you want to read it regarding the conference previews, etc., stuff like that, we'll make it available to you. So yeah, you get to read it at your leisure as well, because I write an insane amount of stuff for it. People may as well read it if they ain't going to listen to it on the pod. But yeah, we appreciate all your support. We appreciate all your backing. We shall see you again in about a month. Obviously, you'll see us on the main pod before then. Just remains to be thanked, Rye. Appreciate this. Another year is in the books. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed it again. It's a lot of fun. And we've got some good predictions right. We've had some bad ones. Let's hope we can end this off by beating the simulator at its game and showing that really we do know what we're talking about. You can find us at Roar of the Lions UK, everywhere over the internet, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all that good stuff. Do follow us, do support us that way. We broke the 100,000 barrier this week. We're coming for 250,000. We're going for the quarter mil, and we want you on the journey with us. So thank you very much. And until next time, we shall see you soon. One pride.